What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dense Pixels Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, joined by my co-host, Micah.
Hi, I'm really close to the camera for some reason, but I don't feel like changing it. So
we have a fun show this week because we're news light and we really haven't played much in the way of new games. So we're gonna have a game later in the show that I'm shamelessly ripping off from another podcast, but that's okay. Because it's a fun game, and it'll get you guys, the listeners, involved on the back end. So look forward to that coming later in the program. Let's get right into the meager bits of news that we have. Blizzard has announced that over time, and starting with Overwatch 2 this fall, their games are coming to Steam. So in the past, you could only run Blizzard's games through their proprietary Battle.net launcher. Which rubs a lot of folks the wrong way. A lot of people just prefer to use one launcher for everything because that's where they have their friends list, and it's just kind of easier to, you know, to play games on there. People have long wanted these games to come to Steam, but they have held tight. But no more, apparently. Like I said, we are going to see Overwatch 2 this fall, and we will see other games make its way to Steam over time at all. They did go out of their way to say not every game is going to come to Steam, so I don't think like Diablo 4, for example, is going to be on Steam anytime soon. I wouldn't imagine. They'd like to keep as much of that Diablo 4 money as they can up front. I think the fact that Overwatch 2 is the first game that's headed there speaks to the straits that Overwatch 2 is currently in from a from a microtransaction standpoint, because, of course, Overwatch 2... free-to-play, the only way that they make money from that game is through microtransactions. So, Micah, your thoughts on Blizzard waving the white flag?
I feel like I don't care because I don't. I am not a member of your of your tribe. I understand the thought process behind, like, I want one launcher, because on the very, very rare occasion that I do play a game on Steam, and by rare occasion, I mean I want to play either Jade Empire or Dragon Age, the first Dragon Age. It is really convenient to have just one launcher. Mm-hmm. I think I have one Epic Store game and I don't even know what it is, because like it was like free or something like that, but you know, it was only on the Epic Store, and I'm like, all right,
I have Game Pass right now, so that comes with EA Play. So I downloaded FIFA 23 because I'm like, I'll play a couple matches of FIFA. Like, I haven't really played a FIFA game like hardcore for a couple years now, but I was like, you know, it's there, I'll play it. And it was really fucking annoying. Once I downloaded the game from the Xbox, game store, I then had to download and open the EA Play launcher in order to play FIFA, and that launcher opens every time I want to play. So I know we've made fun of PC folks in the past for this, saying like it's just another program, what's a big deal, but it is kind of annoying actually. So, you know, I do applaud them for doing this. It's also a good idea for folks that have Steam Decks that don't feel like having to do the workaround that you have to do to get Battle.net working on a Steam Deck. You can, it's not hard, but it's just convenient to be able to do it through Steam, obviously. So
It wasn't the Epic Game Store. It was EA Play, because it was a Mass Effect game.
Yeah.
So God damn it.
So look forward to seeing what Blizzard titles. I think the one everyone's really waiting for is like World of Warcraft for some reason. So
people still play World of Warcraft. I know that's a stupid
people still do. It's not the juggernaut it once was. Like I think it's still the most popular MMO from a subscription standpoint. But not to the extent that it used to be. I think Final Fantasy 14 has caught up considerably, to its subscriber base. And also Warcraft has come down considerably over when it had like 10 million concurrent paid subscribers or whatever it was many years ago. So, CD Projekt Red, has been doing layoffs, all throughout the year, this year, they have another one coming where about 100 people, which is 9% of the studio's workforce, is going to be laid off over the coming months. This is interesting to me because I know that on the backs of Cyberpunk getting ready to come out, they had announced that they're working on like a shitload of projects, including you know, a Cyberpunk sequel eventually, and a new Witcher game, and a remaster of the first Witcher, and things like that. So it's interesting that they are rolling back their staffing needs. I think some of that also kind of boils down to the fact that you know, they staffed up to get Cyberpunk out the door and then fixed. and then now that like the need for that is less, they're rolling back, as many large game studios do. Certainly a bummer for the folks that are going to be let go. These are the largest layoffs that they've had. Before the layoffs were where I think they had 29 people, and then they had 30 people who were working on the Gwent game, which has been, you know, they're not developing anymore. So, yeah, just a bummer all the way around. Like, you know, no one ever likes to hear about folks losing jobs.
Yeah, I hope those people that are being let go were notified that, like, hey, this is just like retail in December, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's no guarantee that you will get a job after we need you. If that's the case, then, you know, I understand. But, like, if you're just laying people off because, like, boy, it cost us a lot of money to fix this game that we shouldn't have released.
Yeah, had to spend all this extra time on.
Yeah, we got to let some of y'all go now. That's kind of messed up. Yeah, but,
and it's a tough market out there, because I mean they're in Poland basically, and I know they have a couple other partner studios, but I think that they're all in generally the same region. So obviously not the same level of opportunity out there as there is in other parts of the world for folks to find new work. So. Like I said, bummer for those folks, and I hope they do all land on their feet. But just kind of interesting to see, you know, wanting to make games without crunching kind of flies in the face of lowering workforce to some extent. But also, I guess if you can't find anything for those folks to do, that's a lot of money to spend in order to keep them going. Final bit of news, there's a report that came out on VGC, not VG Confab, that said that there are development kits that have been passed to third-party developers for the new Nintendo console that is set to debut in the second half of 2024. A couple other notes that came out in this report, that the console will be much like the Switch, where it will be playable in a handheld configuration. They're looking to debut the console with an LCD rather than an OLED, which the current model Switches have, in order to cut down on costs. It will continue to read and require physical media cartridges. No word on backwards compatibility in any way, shape, or form. And that is about the extent of the reports, nothing on specs or anything like that. So my question is, because this on its face is not very interesting to me, but Micah, I am curious. So if a new Nintendo Switch releases, what is like your minimum requirements from a hardware standpoint in order to consider picking this thing up?
I don't know if that's the thing. Man, it's gotta not be handheld. Like because if it's handheld, it's not going to be powerful enough to do what I look. I appreciate Nintendo. I appreciate what they do. I think they serve a much needed role in this industry. They are the ones who are innovating. They are the ones who do things differently. They serve a very specific audience. And I appreciate what they do. But I don't know if I'm going to pick this up.
Yeah.
If it's just gonna, you know, they're, oh, well, we're going to go back to LED screens instead of OLED screens. And then in 2025, we'll get, you know, the Switch Pro or the Switch 2 Pro or whatever.
Right. Or just the Switch,
we figured out Switch how to 2 do
OLED.
It.
Yeah. I really like that OLED screen too. I think it's one of the standout features that other handhelds don't have. I think it needed to have a processor that makes it so that every game can run at 60 frames a second. I don't think there's any excuse for that at this point. I think that in handheld mode, it's got to run at 1080p at a minimum. And I think that docked, it has to upscale to at least 2K, but optimally 4K. I don't think their games benefit from resolution bumps as much as like games on PlayStation or Xbox do. So I'm not necessarily concerned about having 4K resolution in docked mode, but I think it's got to at least go to 2K resolution. So 2K 60 in docked mode, got to cut down on the loading times. I think one of the things that we've seen from the current Switch console with newer games that are coming out is just like the load times are unbearably long and run in stark opposition to the load times that we now see, on consoles like a PS5 or a Series X that have, these SSDs in them that make it super fast to pull game data and get it loaded on the screen. It's one of the things I heard about Pikmin 4. Like, I heard Pikmin 4 is excellent, but the load times are freaking terrible.
Sorry about that.
I thought the recording was crashing now.
No, I'm trying to flag down my wife, who's just like, I'm in my own world. I hear you. Look, I don't think that I'm very curious to see what this is going to be. Are they saying that this is like a successor?
Yes.
Yes. Was the Wii U a successor to the Wii?
In their eyes.
Because
yeah.
Well, that's what I'm getting. That's the vibe I'm getting, man. Like, and this is not something that strikes me as good practice. I mean, look, I'm not a business guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're taking advantage of your customer base a little bit. Especially your diehard customer base, because they will buy anything with that racetrack on it.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing has to be more than just Switch U. Like, it's gotta show some sort of Nintendo's thing is innovation, and it's got to do something that is innovative. It could be something I've seen before, but just done in a different way, right? We've seen handhelds before, but like the whole gimmick with the Switch is kind of cool. And at this point, even if it's like, how flip phones are back, right? Like, it is, man. First of all, I'm not bending glass. Get out of here. Like, that's just weird. I'm not doing that. But even if it is something like that, some gimmick, I'd like to see what it is, but I find it hard pressed to get that you are going to get something that will allow games the option of running at 60 frames per second from a Nintendo console, because they're not trying to charge you $500 for this thing.
You're right, but I like I said, I think they could still get away with charging what they want to charge, which is probably I think around $400. And still have these things running the way they need to. Look, their whole gimmick is they're always from a hardware standpoint, they're always a generation behind, right? So like we're looking for them to catch up to like PS4 and Xbox One, levels of fidelity, and that equipment, that hardware is a lot less expensive than it was back when the PS4. And Xbox One came out. So it should be easy to be able to get hardware to get it to run at, those decent specs, which again, we're not looking for, I don't need 4K 120 FPS gameplay from my Switch successor. I don't need ray tracing on my Nintendo Switch. But I do need it to be a firm technological step up from what they currently have on the market right now.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what they have in mind, because I'm getting Wii U vibes, man.
Well, we'll have to see. Like I said, I'm going to be the opposite as I was, because I remember going into the Switch, you know, when I first saw it, I was down on it and then immediately turned around, like, once I got my hands on one and it came out and I saw the brilliance, and I think a lot of people were in that same boat. I'll be the opposite this time, where I'll probably be in from the start and then, you know, probably be disappointed when it comes out. So we'll see how it rolls.
It's the ad time. Go to densepixels.com/fans and get invited to our Discord, where we talk about all sorts of things. Wrestling and video games and soccer and F1 and all sorts of stuff. It's a nice little community there with like-minded folks, and you can join them at densepixels.com/fans. Go to youtube.com/densepixels and subscribe. When you do, you will see our themed rooms of blue and orange, which were my high school colors.
And your college colors. That's weird. I didn't
know my college colors. Blue and orange. Something about blue and orange. But yeah, you can see us. You can see my giant head. You can see Brad repping those O's. And you can click subscribe and click the little like button. That really helps us out. Subscribe to all of our podcasts wherever you get them, including The Nerdpocalypse, which is back on video, Black on Black Cinema, which is now back on video. Our latest episode was The Blackening, which is way better than it had any right to be. And our next movie is They Clone Tyrone, which is I got thoughts on it. Coming Distractions, and the weekly preview episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast. If you want more Look Forward goodness, go to densepixels.com/premium for $5 a month or $50 for the year. You get access to all of the premium podcasts, including the airing of grievances. Terrence has challenged us to go back and listen to some of those old episodes, because he's been doing that. And he's been really, really enjoying himself. Whereas he should be challenging us to finish the series, but he knows that is a losing game. We'll get there eventually. Jay has to figure out some stuff in Mexico. No Time to Bleed, The Man with the Golden Tongues, a new episode is up on Metal Gear Solid 3. I believe was it Amir in the Discord said that he's got some real problems with Brad's take on Metal Gear Solid 3. And if you wanted to hear what that is, go to densepixels.com/premium. Get back episodes of Upstage Conversation and the full weekly episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast. Every week, a fresh batch of shenanigans in the political world. Trump just got indicted again.
Yeah, it's like I said, they for the first time ever, they waited until before we recorded the show so that we can actually talk about it. It's fantastic. So
hear all that at densepixels.com/premium.
Okay, so because I knew we were light on content, I wanted to play a game with Micah that I wanted to do for a little bit. I am shamelessly stealing this format from the Games Mess Decides podcast, who has done this several times, but it's a good format and it's interesting, and I've never really seen anyone do it before. We are going to have a fantasy draft of games, and Mike and I are going to take turns, and we are going to build the greatest 16-bit consoles that we can, based on the libraries of the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and TurboGrafx-16. So the way this will work is, because I'm a gentleman, I will allow Micah to have the first pick. We're going to go back and forth, alternating picks of 16-bit games. So any games from the Genesis era, the Super Nintendo, or the TurboGrafx are eligible to be picked. Once a game is selected, though, it's taken off the board. So once a game has been picked, the other player cannot pick that game to add to their console lineup. And basically, we're gonna draft 10 games each, and you, the listeners, are gonna decide by voting on Discord as to who has the superior 16-bit console based on their games lineup that we have, that they have selected. And so what's interesting about this is Mike and I are not going to be drafting based on what our favorite 16-bit games are. We're going to be drafting what we think the best objective 16-bit console is. So we're going to have games from, you know, a wide variety of games, different genres, not even games that we necessarily like. Like, I'm going to probably be forced to draft a Genesis game or two on this console, just because you people need it to make yourselves happy so that you'll vote for my console to win this contest. So we have the Super Mica Endo versus the Turbo Braddix 16 in this in this battle of 16-bit consoles. Micah, I am a gentleman. I see to the first pick in this console draft, and then we will take turns going back and forth.
Okay, so we're not being forced to pick from the lesser consoles, are we?
No, you can pick whatever. Okay. You can pick whatever 16-bit right. games you want, but you are not limited to picking from a single console, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
look, I have at least three Genesis games on my list that I have of games that I will potentially be drafting. So
I wonder if they're the same as mine. all right. I'm going to pick a game that is legendary. It is one of the games that, like, the Super Nintendo era, the 16-bit era was just rife with massive improvements to its 8-bit brethren. And the first game I'm going to pick is so good it has a genre named after it. I'm going to pick Super Metroid.
Oh, wow.
As my number one pick.
I was not expecting you to go Super Metroid first overall.
I think that game is I think the fact that you have a whole genre of video games that is defined by that series and, you know, Castlevania is telling.
Yeah.
And it was either that or what I am assuming is going to be your
number. Well, you, since you left it on the table for me, I'm going to take The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
That's yeah. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you left it out there. I thought for sure that was going to be your top pick, but you left it out there on the board for me, so I have to...
Well, I got another top-down RPG that I feel like is going to go pretty high.
Yeah. So, Zelda is an easy pick. For my money, it is the best Super Nintendo game on the console from an objective standpoint. It might not be my favorite, but I think it's the best. So that is my top overall pick. Easy peasy. All right, what is your second pick?
Now, are we picking 10 games? Just 10 games total, right?
10 games total. Yes.
Okay. To get the RPG fans. Ooh. All set. Like it's Chrono Trigger, right?
Oh, like, oh man, you keep throwing me curveballs. You keep throwing me curveballs. I figured it was one or the other. You took the one, I'll take the other. you can talk about why you're picking Chrono Trigger.
I'm picking Chrono Trigger because it has immense replayability. Mm-hmm. It is a legendary game. It's art style is based on a very, very famous artist who also designed characters for Dragon Ball, right? So I might be pulling some of the anime weebs into.
See, now this you're particular. Now you're thinking about this the right way. You're playing the metagame, which is the game to play. I of course am going to pick Final Fantasy VI. Look, if I don't, then Micah is going to get it. Micah is going to get it next, right? So like because Micah got to pick first, like I now have to react to at least his first couple of picks. So,
let me see what else. I got a list of games, and I'm just going through the list. Another game that I think. Another game that I think is... See, the problem is, like, I gotta remember, like, don't do this for me.
Right. Well, that's right. That's the tricky part for me too. I have to do the same thing, because there's definitely one game I'm probably going to pick that I wouldn't pick personally, but I think is more ubiquitously loved in its genre later on.
So I got other games that I want to pick, but I don't want to pick them so high. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's the other game too. the game within the game.
Like, I got games that I don't think you would pick, but mm-hmm. I gotta figure out how to do this. I think maybe I need a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple different ones that I want to choose. I want to say this one, but I don't know if it's got the same appeal because of difficulty. And I don't want to just pick a Mario platformer.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to go with a platformer that when it came out, I was not necessarily into, I wasn't necessarily into the brand, and I don't like being the avatar for this particular, I don't like this particular creature to be the avatar that I am playing, but I'm going to have to pick Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
For my platform.
I'm happy that you took that off the board, because I felt compelled to pick it, but now I don't have to, so I can do something different with this pick. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go platformer first or if I wanted to go another direction first, and I think because there's enough good platformers left on the board that I think I can let that sit out for a little bit. I'm gonna lock down the fighting game on the console and pick Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
God damn it.
we're gonna go ahead and get that locked down now. or not Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So
that was my next one.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, I know, but that's what I said. I feel like there's enough platformers still on the board, but there's not enough like super good fighting games that are left out there. There's only a handful of really good, like, stood the test of time fighting games on in the 16-bit generation. I want to make sure that I get the best one before you have a chance to grab it. So,
yeah, like, it wouldn't be the Street Fighter that I would pick personally, but it's the Street Fighter that you should pick.
Yes.
I'm gonna do a barrel roll, and I'm gonna pick Star Fox.
Interesting. Wasn't even on my list of consideration, to be honest with you. So, you are welcome to have it. Why fourth overall though?
I feel like that is a franchise that my thought process is that this, I'm trying to pick seminal games from franchises.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple others, and I'm trying to spread out genres, because I want to get as many different people to buy my console, even if it's just for one game, because I was that kid growing up. I would buy a console for one game and hope that other stuff would fall. I would like other stuff. And yeah, I feel like that franchise is. I feel like that franchise is seminal. I feel like people love Star Fox, like, to the point where they made one out of the. They made some out of the plane. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm feeling kind of bad about my pick now that I think about it. But that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you got six more, but beyond this one, so. So with my fourth pick, there's one that I want to pick because I want to get it before you get it, because it's a clever pick and I feel like that you might get it in the next pick or two, but I feel like getting it forward would be too early. So I'm not ready to reach up for it yet. So I'm going to go ahead and lock down my primary platformer, on the console, and that's just going to be Super Mario World.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I got you. That's a solid pick.
Yep.
That is a solid pick. Oh, man. Let's see. I have the Metroidvania game covered. I have
that's an ace in your pocket, because there's really nothing else akin to Metroid other than the Super Metroid on the platform. So
right, I mean, there's the suffix to that portmanteau, but I feel like Metroid is the one of the two that I would pick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick a racing game, and there's only one racing game.
I didn't think you were gonna get this one that early. This is not what I was thinking of, but I'm upset that you're gonna get it. So
I gotta have a racing game represented, and it's F-Zero again. Oh. Another classic franchise. That it wasn't F-Zero. Yours
no,
wasn't F-Zero.
No.
Oh man, I feel like I fucked up.
No, I don't know that you did. I think F-Zero might actually be the actual correct decision between the two racing games. There are two racing games on the Super Nintendo of some.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. There is one that's a little more party heavy.
Yeah,
but no, I'm fine with F-Zero. I think for pure racing. You know, not pure racing, but racing without too many shenanigans. F-Zero will be my pick.
Okay. Well, then I feel like I have to get Super Mario Kart then, just to have a racing game on the platform, because I don't want you to steal it from me. So
yeah,
I'll go ahead and take that with my fifth pick. All right. So number six. For you.
Number six. Okay. I need a beat 'em up. Right? I need a beat 'em up. And there's only one beat 'em up there's two beat 'em ups, right? There's two main beat 'em ups.
I'm upset that you and I have like the same like list. And I'm more upset that you're jumping ahead of me to get the better ones on the list.
Well, here's the thing, Brad. Here's the thing, man. I'm at a crossroads. Because one of these games is way more popular,
mm-hmm.
but one of the other is better. And look, this wouldn't be my pick because, you know, I'm a Capcom girl for life. But I will pick Streets of Rage 2.
I think that is the correct one to pick of those two, of what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I developed a new appreciation for Streets of Rage after playing the remake. Our buddy Terrence he loves that game. And he introduced us to the fact that this game has just tremendous music. Mm-hmm. I think Streets of Rage is the better of the two for this pick.
Yeah. All right. So the fact that Star Fox is a wild card, and the fact that you've already picked a beat 'em up game to be on your console relieves some of the pressure on me. So now I can start going on the attack on you a little bit. I noticed that neither of us, I mean, racing kind of counts, but not really. I noticed that neither of us have a true sports game on the list. I feel like we need at least one. I'm going to grab NBA Jam Tournament Edition for my console.
Mm. Damn. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. Because it's fun. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it, ooh, yeah. Mm.
All right. Number seven, four to go.
Now, here's the thing. Do I pick something that I absolutely know Brad would never pick, or would pick it?
You can probably pick that with like your 10th pick. But again, this isn't for you or I. This is for the people.
Right.
So I
gotta,
don't know.
Right. Like I gotta, you know, I have to take into account the fact that people have bad taste.
Right. You can't assume that I wouldn't pick it. So. And if it's what you're thinking. It is on my list. I was just debating on where it should be drafted.
Well, you know, I'm a Nintendo guy, so that can wait.
Yeah.
Technically that's a beat 'em up. okay, what do I need? Man, this is actually kind of difficult. You know what I'm going to pick? I'm going to pick, we need puzzle representation mm-hmm. in my console. So I'm going to pick, Tetris Attack.
Tetris Attack.
It is not something that, I would necessarily run out to get, but Tetris is, again, another game that is, that literally anyone can pick up and play.
Yep.
And Tetris Attack has the benefit of being branded, right? With all that like Mario goodness. Yep. So yeah, I feel like I got my puzzle game represented.
So I can go a couple different ways here. There's two games that I don't know if they're front of mind, but I think they'd be good to get, and I'd be really upset if you took them from me. I think this is a good time for this. So, like, I'm thinking of games that aren't going to bring the masses, but there's a small but very dedicated group of people who, because this game is on my console, I feel like are much more likely to pick my system to win. And that's going to be Mega Man X.
You know, I was thinking about that at my Donkey Kong Country pick,
mm-hmm.
but I thought that might be too difficult for people.
Yeah, I think it's beloved enough by the masses that I think it's a good thing to have on the console to make sure people flock to it. So yeah,
Mega Man X. Look, if you picked Donkey Kong, I was going to pick Mega Man. So it is what it is, man.
All right, three more left. Your number eight.
Oh man. Okay. All right, we gotta get something for the boys, right? Because like who's gonna think of the boys, right, playing these games? I'm going to pick the most I'm gonna pick, as a child of the 80s, you know, we grew up watching dudes in jean vests holding guns and killing aliens.
Mm.
And I'm gonna pick Contra 3.
Contra 3.
Because you know, you gotta get something for the boys. What else are they gonna play?
So I like where I'm sitting here with some of the games that are left on the board. I'm gonna lock down the fighting game category on my console and pick Killer Instinct.
Mm. Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Then I know where I need to go. Because I don't have fighting game representation.
No, on there, you don't have a single fighter in there.
Well, guess what? I'm picking the Genesis version of Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay.
Because Mortal Kombat fans are psychos, and and while I find Mortal Kombat entertaining, it is not my preferred fighting game, but it is so accessible. Just hitting punch, yes. Punch, 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 sweep. Right? Like it's really accessible to hit down and punch to uppercut someone. And it's got all of the pomp and circumstance that people love about Mortal Kombat. And technically it's a fighting game.
Yep. So I have to do it because I feel like if I don't do it, you're gonna pick it with your last pick. And it's important to have, because there's enough of you weirdos out there who will come to the system because this game is on there, even though it is objectionably a bad game. But again, you guys are weirdos and like it for some reason. I'm going to pick Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yep. Yep. That was... that was...
yeah.
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Like, I was going to pick it, but, like, you see, I alluded to it, so I didn't really feel the need. I didn't really feel the need to pick it.
You did not have the need for speed, so. All right, so you got one more. So got to look at your list. Maybe this could be a one for you. Maybe a one for you at the end here.
It is okay. So you got the Sonic game. Oh man. All right, I need to make sure that this is on
on a 16-bit console.
Yeah, I need to make sure this is on a 16-bit console. But there are a couple different versions of this game. It's got to be the one that I'm thinking of, though. All right, give me one second. Give me one second, because I don't have a sports game. And there was one sports game that that I really, really enjoyed. That's Nintendo 64. That's Nintendo 64. Nah, yo, it's got to be.
What were you thinking of?
There was a Ken Griffey game.
There were two Griffey games on SNES.
And there was one that looked like everybody was just like on roids.
Yeah, that was the original. That was Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball.
That is what I'm going to pick. Okay. Because I was like, yo, these dudes look like they're brandishing claymores.
and it's also the better of the two, because I played Winning Run as well. And it's Winning Run is not very good compared to Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball. So
yeah, I remember Ken Griffey. I remember that game, man. I actually really enjoyed that game back when I actually liked and watched baseball. Yeah.
So for my last one, so I don't have a beat 'em up. I don't have a shoot 'em up. There are two options I have an option for both I could pick that I think would be good. But I think I just want to lock down the platform genre with my last pick. Kind of wish we had 12 picks, but we'll stick with 10. I'm gonna lock it down and get Donkey Kong Country 2, which in my opinion is the superior Donkey Kong Country anyway. And just kind of lock it down with the platformer. I was waffling, so I was thinking about either going with maybe like Turtles in Time.
I was thinking about
on
that.
There, yep. Yeah. Or Gunstar Heroes to get like a Contra like on there, but I think more people will come to DKC2 than those other games. So here's our final consoles. The Super Micatendo is gonna have Super Metroid, Chrono Trigger, Donkey Kong Country, Star Fox, F-Zero, Streets of Rage 2, Tetris Attack, Contra 3, Mortal Kombat 2 Genesis version. And Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball. The Turbo Braddock 16 is going to have Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Final Fantasy VI, Street Fighter II Turbo, Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, Mega Man X, Killer Instinct, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Kong Quest.
You know what's funny?
Final rosters.
You know what's funny? I'm proud of what I picked, but I would buy your console.
I was very disillusioned after your first three picks. Like, I was really worried that this was going to be a tough one for me. And then you made some picks that I thought were a little quirky, and so you let me pick some chalk picks. I would lean for my console as well. I'm really going to miss not having Chrono Trigger, though, I will say.
See, this is what I get for not thinking of myself.
but it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what you listeners think. So I'm gonna post this in the Discord in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if you can do polls on Discord, but we're gonna find out. I will post these two lists on here, and you guys can vote on to which is the better 16-bit console that we have picked between the two choices, between the two options that we're going to give you. I could see us doing this again with like 32-bit consoles and onward as well. So
yeah, this was fun. I need to prepare. I need to prepare more, better. For short notice on my part, purely it's my fault. I think I picked a solid lineup, but the games on yours I would prefer personally.
Yeah. I was really happy when you took Super Metroid first. I think getting Zelda first pick really, really helped me set the tone with this. So thank you for picking Metroid. I did not expect you to take Metroid number one. even though I think that Metroid, like if you had picked Zelda, I probably would have taken Metroid, most likely, or Chrono
Trigger. Right, like
it would have been one or the other. So,
right, like that. But that's the beauty of it, right? Like, if you got those three games, you pretty much like got a lock. So I'm hoping that people who, pick my console realize that they are allies for women, and if you pick Brad's, well, then you obviously hate women, and you don't like strong women. But if you pick my console, you do. So. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to win now, man. I'm trying to win. Speaking of winning, giant corporations are winning all the time. But
people are saying,
you can help us siphon off a little bit of that win that they always get by going to densepixels.com/Amazon. When you go to densepixels.com/Amazon for all of your Amazon purchases, you get what you want, and we get a very, very tiny kickback. I am on densepixels.com/Amazon, and I will not go to pick up where I left off, but I will go to my recent purchases. I recently purchased the second half of the Expanse book series. I read the first one, and I really liked it. But I never got around to reading the other 8 books. And I said, you know what? This is going to be what I do until Spider-Man comes out. I'm going to read these books.
Did you ever finish the Greenbone trilogy?
The first book, yes.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it, but I wanted to take a break, and then life got in the way. But I liked that first book. I liked it a lot, actually.
I also have a book recommendation since you brought up books. Don't know any listeners if you read the Red Rising series. The 6th book, Lightbringer, just came out.
I heard that's really good.
It is. It's basically like Greek and Roman Star Wars in a lot of ways, but in our solar system. And there's like a caste system in society that they like the premise is there's someone that infiltrates like the top caste and basically engineers like a rebellion against society. So it's very good. It's 6 books deep. And the 6th book might be my favorite one in the series thus far. It's a tie between that and book 2, but it was really good. Tore through it in like a week. So, and they're not small. Excellent. So they're not small, but yeah, Red Rising series, very good. Highly recommend. So
excellent. And you can get that at, densepixels.com/Amazon.
Quick trip, to the post office. Film Wander asks, do any of you guys have a favorite mocap actor in gaming? That's a very oddly specific question. Like, do you mean just motion capture, or do you mean like the whole shebang? Like they're acting and they do the mocap at the same time.
The character mocap from MK Armageddon. I don't know. You know, they do some of these actors will do their own mocap, especially in these like high budget, very narrative driven Naughty Dog style games, right?
Yeah, depends on the game too, because like I don't think the Horizon actors do like motion capture, for example.
Yeah, I don't not the ones that do the voices, mm-hmm. right? Like I think they have motion capture, but I don't think all of these I don't think all of the actors do all of their own mocap. Yeah, I honestly, yeah, that's a very unique question. But there is no like, there, because there is no movement that, what am I trying to say? I think it's a little different in film, mm-hmm. because film, you realize that is a real person in this scene. Like take Andy Serkis, for example. Like he voiced in mocap Gollum, right? And it's an incredible performance, one, because human beings tend to not move like that, but mm-hmm. you know a human being moved like that in this. Whereas something like, you know, God of War, right? Like Christopher Judge did some mocap work for the cutscene parts, but he's not going around, you know, jumping up in the air and, you know, hitting somebody with an axe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's an animator, right? So I don't know. I don't really know how to answer that question.
According to LA Knight, he did a lot of the motion capture for some of the WWE 2K games. So I'm going to say LA Knight is my favorite video game motion capture actor.
Yeah.
Daniel says or asks, what is your Diablo season one build? I am running currently a spin to win barbarian until I get to level 50, and then I might tear it down and respec it out. So
I am a level 53 bone lance necromancer. I use bone lance to make enemies vulnerable and just blow up corpses all around them.
That's my wife is doing right now.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't understand people that just like make a necromancer and then just like sacrifice all their minions just to get a little bit more power. I don't like that's the whole gimmick of the necromancer for me, right? Like if I want to just solo shit and hit it with a big weapon, I could be a barbarian. I already got one of those. So it was a little slow going coming up in this as the necromancer, mm-hmm. just because, you know, some of the minions were really weak, and the golem was, but the golem was there. The golem is always there, but it was a little slow going, but I didn't really feel the power, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm getting Paragon points and putting them in things, like I really feel it. Whereas when I first played Diablo, I have a sorceress at 50 in the Eternal Realm, and then I just kind of got bored with it, and I started a barbarian in the Eternal Realm and got that up to like 52, and I said I should probably wait until the new season starts, because I want to try a rogue. I want to try like a ranged rogue.
Yeah, I had apparently Blade Rogue is the best build in the game right now, but I didn't. I played a ranged. I played a bow rogue as well in the Eternal Realm. And finally, C. Kent asks, best or favorite role-playing experience in a non-BioWare game? Putting that caveat out there on you.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'll do you a favor, and I won't just name a Final Fantasy game. best, well, I'm hoping it's going to be Baldur's Gate. I really hope, because I'm getting really into it, and I'm hyping myself up for that game to dangerous levels. What other RPGs do I play though? Like, I know I play other RPGs. Like, I just finished Final Fantasy 16 finally, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't my favorite. You know what I played that people don't know if people remember or it just didn't get any love, There was an RPG. There was a turn-based RPG on Xbox called Lost Odyssey, and I really liked that game, man.
Wasn't that the one where you're like, dude was like he lived to be like 1,000 years, so like the story took place over this super long.
Yeah, he was like, he and one other party member were immortal. And it's been so long. I think because that game came out in 2007. But I remember really liking that game. I also really enjoyed the Last Tales game that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a better job of, you know, making slavery and oppression an allegory better than Final Fantasy, which it was all like in your face and beat you over the head with it in the first act of Final Fantasy, and then like they just kind of forgot about it. But yeah, there are other RPGs out there that that aren't made by BioWare, especially now, because like BioWare's fallen a little bit.
I'm going to toss a curveball out there for my answer, because the answer that I'm going to put out there is not going to be an RPG per se. But they asked what was your favorite role playing experience. I really enjoyed, even though there wasn't like a hard meter in Ghost of Tsushima, like some of the decisions that you got to make in that game and just how you could express yourself through your playstyle. In that game, I felt like that it did role playing more expressively than most action adventure games tend to. And that kind of makes sense because it was developed by Sucker Punch, who did the Infamous games, who, you know, back in the day had a very, like, they were the first ones to have like that a very rudimentary, but still had like a morality system in the game that changed the game in major ways. Yeah, like I said, even though it didn't change the story as much in Ghost of Tsushima, like I still enjoyed really being able to kind of play. And then again, like, you know, that last decision that you do make at the end of the game is one of the hardest choices that I've ever had to make in a video game. It's right up there with what to do with Morden in Mass Effect 3. was you know, choosing what you did with your adopted uncle, basically, at the end of Ghost of Tsushima. So that was a heart-wrenching scene. And again, I literally spent 5 minutes on the decision screen there, not knowing what the right thing to do, like sitting there rationalizing in my head what I should do when you make that choice. So I thought that was pretty cool. That is it for the post office. Thank you guys for submitting your questions. Again, you can go to densepixels.com/fans to submit questions. We'll answer on the show. And as I try to figure out how to get the poll for who has the winning 16-bit console between Mike and I, you can look for that in there. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you download fine podcasts. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well by going to youtube.com/densepixels. Big weekend this weekend. Evo's this weekend. SummerSlam's this weekend. It's going to be a lot of shit to watch.
Yeah, I really need them to. I really need them to stop having Evo on West Coast time, man. I really do.
Agreed. But that is going to be it for us this week. Thank you all very much for watching and listening. We'll see you all the next time.
See ya.